It's weird the way its right. little legs do. There we go. Goes all the way down.
All right. So, can you tell me your name?
My name is Mary Fiok.
All righty. And I am Wesley. Wesley Hagler. All right. So, when and where were you born?
I was born in Floyd County, Indiana.
Okay.
Just across the river.
Gotcha.
1971.
Okay.
December 22nd.
Got a birthday coming up.
Yeah.
Christmas, baby. So when did you arrive in Louisville?
You know, we had relatives in Louisville, so, you know, we would go back and forth to visit them. My aunt lived here, but it wasn't until during my senior year of high school, and I could drive, I spent a lot of time coming over on the weekends mm-hmm. to go to the Rocky Horror Picture Show at the Vogue.
Okay.
When they used to show it there.
Okay.
You know, they'd have live actors and show the movie, and it was a lot of fun. There's a lot of different people there. It was a mixed group of goths, punk rockers, weirdos, you know, and I was so, from Indiana where I was from, you didn't get a lot of subculture.
Gotcha.
So I got to taste of subculture here in the city, and I decided I loved it. So as soon as I graduated from high school, I did a few weird things, and then I ended up moving here and getting my first apartment, you know. And
gotcha. Okay. So I guess that answered my next question, which was what influenced you to move to Louisville? So you already...
Well, you know, I like the city. I just, you know, it was the closest. I mean, I grew up around cornfields and no sidewalks and farms, and, you know... It just, I was always driven for something more right. excitement, a little more noise, distraction, and activity right. around me. And
that sounds like me, because I don't know if you're aware of Shelbyville,
mm-hmm.
Shelbyville, Kentucky, where the yep. Outlet Malls are. That's where I live. I actually went out of state for college to Atlanta, Georgia,
mm-hmm.
I just love the city.
Yeah.
I just love it. It's always something to do. The music scene is really, really great, so... I can relate to you on that.
Yeah, actually, right after I graduated high school, I ended up going out to L.A. for
oh,
a short
wow.
period of time. And, you know, it was the first time I'd ever been on an airplane or, you know, and really left home.
Mm-hmm.
And that was huge, you know.
Right,
I was like,
right.
oh, man, just look at all this, you know, look right. at all this stuff going on.
Exactly.
I loved it. So.
All righty. How did you get introduced or interested in music and instruments?
Well, I kind of had a musical family. I mean, not really that my parents sang or played an instrument. I think my dad tried to play guitar, and he, you know, kind of BS'd around on it with, like, but my sisters, I had two older sisters, and they sang, and we all, and I was probably 5 or 6, and we all started singing together.
Okay.
One of them played piano. I ended up getting piano lessons. We sang and performed in church all the time.
Okay.
At an early age, I was kind of thrown out in front of people to perform.
Right.
You know.
Gotcha. Okay. How many instruments do you play?
I can't say that I'm qualified to be a piano player or anything, but, I mean, I do understand it enough.
Right.
And... I just play guitar. I mean, can kind of play the bass a little bit, but being that they're, you know, the stringed instruments that, you know, relate to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm mostly a guitar player.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So when did you start that, the guitar?
Someone gave me a guitar for my 22nd birthday, acoustic guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know how to play it. They taught me House of the Rising Sun. And I don't know, and it's like got every chord in it. And I don't know how it stuck with me since I didn't know anything about guitar. But I knew how to play that song for like 10 years. And that was the only song I knew how to play on the guitar. I still play it.
Gotcha.
But then when I got pregnant with my son
mm-hmm.
In my late 20s, or I was 30, I think, when I got pregnant with Casper, I started taking guitar lessons.
Gotcha.
So it was late. And I took them from a friend of mine who's a great guitar player, and I didn't have anything else to do. I was totally pregnant, couldn't really, like, move around a lot, so I just sat around and learned how to play the guitar.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is a side note question. Professor Fox told me you were a jockey. Can you talk more about that?
Well, I tried to be a jockey. In my early 20s, someone introduced me to the racetrack and horses, and I was little, and they were like, you'll be a great jockey. And I was like, oh, okay, well, it's not that simple, you know. Like, I started walking hots at the track, and then grooming horses, and then begging people to teach me how to ride. Mm-hmm. So I ended up going to a couple of different farms out of town, and like in Maryland and stuff, a steeplechase farm. And, you know, trial by fire, I got there. I got to where I could, you know, work horses on the racetrack here at Churchill Downs and stuff, and then just kept trying to be a jockey. I got licensed to ride. I got hurt really early on, and just about that time, my dad got sick, and, you know, I just walked away from it. It's a hard life. It's 7 days a week, unless you're injured. Yeah. That's your only vacation time, really, right. if you get hurt. So, you know, I just kind of came to a realization that it wasn't what I wanted. Gotcha. So, but.
Okay. Where did you shop for records?
Where? Mm-hmm. Well,
Now it's easy to buy it online.
Right. Boy, I did not have, we did not have the access that, you know, people do today. Uh-huh. It's amazing. Going back to growing up in the country, and this is pre-internet, and we didn't even have cable at our house. My friends had cable. Mm-hmm. I didn't have cable. Gotcha. So I didn't even have, like, MTV to watch, you know, unless I went to a friend's house.
Right.
So, you know, you had only four stations, basically, on FM radio. They played the same stuff. There was no record shops. And unless your, like, siblings went to college, mm-hmm. you know, and were cool kids and, like, picked up on stuff and then brought it home and you figured it out, then right. maybe. But that didn't even happen for me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really until I moved to Louisville that I kind of got into a scene and I found out about, like, this and that. But my dad would take me to the mall and there would be, like, a record store in there, like, a, you know, a chain right. record store. And I'd buy stuff there, sure. Gotcha. But,
Alrighty. What platforms did your band and other bands use to hear about new music? So, were there, like, meeting spots that you and your bands went to like, I guess, like, clubs that you all went to hear about new music? And
well, part of that, getting into the scene around here at that time, my early 20s when I moved here, there was this great band that, I mean, they're still around, but, like, their heyday for me was, at that time, called Bodeco. Mm-hmm. And they were just this incredibly original swamp boogie rock and roll. And we would go to Tooligans, which got, its name got changed several times, to, like, Snaggle Wet, and then to, like, Cherokee Blues Club, all in that same, like, era. Mm-hmm. But that place would be packed. Mm-hmm. Packed full of people, from the young cool kids that were, like, barely old enough to be in there, to, like, you know, an older generation of people. I mean, it, and just body to body, jumping up and down and having a great time in this place, and this band kind of brought all that together. Mm-hmm. There were all these other bands that were happening around that too. Evergreen, Juanita, the band I'm in now, like, that mm-hmm. was the first time I'd ever seen them. They had heard that I sang, and so they're like, hey, you should come sing a song with us. And that's kind of how I stepped into that place with them. But that was the biggest connector for me, you know, meeting the people that I would meet to be in bands with eventually and so forth, is surrounding that time frame when we would go see Bodeco. Gotcha. Yeah, that was a huge catalyst.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. What genre of music do you consider your work to be?
What I do?
Mm-hmm.
I think that I'm most happy and most heavily influenced by a cross combination of, like, surf guitar mm-hmm. music mm-hmm. and rhythm and blues.
Okay.
You know, like, yeah, like, kind of, you know, you're almost, hold on, let me get my word, rockabilly 50s, you know, rock and roll, rhythm and blues mixed in with the, you know, the fast and furious, like, kind of surf guitar stuff.
Gotcha.
But you know, I like a lot of stuff. I like a lot of country. Mm-hmm. I like a lot of different music. So I've been in bands that completely different sounds, mm-hmm. you know. Okay. Yeah, one of the bands was kind of more of a new wave goth sound almost. Mm-hmm. And then one of the other bands I'm in right now is straight up kind of a rip on, I'd like to call it a cross between Buddy Holly and the New York Dolls. So it's rock and roll that's really heavily influenced by like that rockabilly blues, mm-hmm. but as well. And then there's Juanita, which is kind of this crazy, you know, like surfy garage sound, you know. So, you know, it's all over the place. But
all right. And can you describe the feeling of being on stage and performing?
Being that I kind of got thrown to perform in front of people ever since I can remember, mm-hmm. in one facet or another, be it in church, mm-hmm. or, you know, for the family. My sisters used to, you know, I guess, dress me up and make me, you know, entertain family. Like, go ahead, do that, do mm-hmm. it, go out there, sing that song, you know, wear this outfit. I mean, I've always been doing it, and it is probably the safest, most comfortable place I'm in.
Gotcha.
Socially, meeting people or hanging out is never as comfortable. Being at work, you know, and waiting on people and stuff is never as comfortable. I can't overlap all those things.
Right.
But when a microphone's in front of me, mm-hmm. or I'm, you know, on stage, I definitely feel like that's the safest and most comfortable place for me. Gotcha. It may have happened by accident just mm-hmm. because of my life, you mm-hmm. know. But,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So, what were your impressions of the Louisville scene? And what I mean by this is, was the scene comparable to other scenes? So was it up and coming, or was it like that place to be in Louisville?
At the time that I felt like in our youth that there was this scene happening, and it was so many different genres, and Louisville definitely had a sound. You know, there were a lot of cool bands like Crane and Rodan and Slint. Well, Slint had already ended at that point, but we all knew that sound. We all knew that band. And even with Evergreen and stuff, there was a very distinct Louisville sound to me and energy. There was a lot of talk outside of, you know, Louisville, Chicago had a close connection to our, you know, bands like King Kong I felt like it was our best kept secret. Mm-hmm. Like, we knew like towns like Austin or Seattle had blew up, you know, with their scenes and, mm-hmm. and music, obviously on a nationwide level or whatever, mm-hmm. but we were still kind of quietly making all this magic happen.
Gotcha.
And you feel that, like, you know, in a very proud feeling that, like, that, you know, that we were part of it somehow right. connected to it.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if that answered that correctly, yeah, but.
Yeah. All right. What is your most memorable show that you were a part of?
A part of? Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness. I remember one was really mind-blowingly cool. Was I was in this band, the Richie White Orchestra, mm-hmm. and it's Cesar Padilla's band, and he was also a curator and collector, and a vintage clothing collector. He has this huge rock and roll T-shirt collection, mm-hmm. And he was displaying it at the FDIM, I think that's the Fashion Design Institute, mm-hmm. In LA. And he's from LA. And so he set up to have his T-shirts there shown in this cool exhibit, and we got to play. And we opened up for Lydia Lunch, and there were, Kerry Chrome was there from The Runaways. It was just really cool. There was some really cool people there. And, you know, here I am in L.A. opening up for Lydia Lunch. And, you know, it was, yeah, that was pretty amazing. Recently, I just had one of the most, like, coolest experiences. And in my life to open up for Rocky Erickson. Been a fan of his for a really long time. I've talked the band into covering his songs here and there. Not that I had to talk him into it, but, you know, it was like, oh, I want to do this Rocky song. And everybody's like, okay, cool. You know, over the past few years. And I just went to see him last October in New Orleans and never would have thought that I'd be saying, you know, a month ago, oh, hey, we're opening up for Rocky Erickson. Right. You know, like, just that's kind of like, that's never going to happen to us. So that's never going to happen to me, right. You know. And it happened, and it was, that was pretty amazing, pretty cool, big deal. Like, I'm very proud of that. Yeah.
It's pretty exciting. From when you first entered the music scene in Louisville, what changes have you seen from then to now?
I don't know. I've spent a little time in and out of paying attention to other bands. Mm-hmm. Being a mom of a 15-year-old.
Right.
had some major career changes. I was a nurse for a while.
Okay.
You know, and I went to nursing school to be that nurse. So there's a lot of time I couldn't focus.
Right.
Even now, the only times I really get out is when I'm playing.
Right.
But I feel like the kids are all right. The younger groups of kids and people putting music together are covering a lot of different styles, a lot of different genres, and I think they have a lot more balls, and they have a lot more, like, willingness to put themselves out there. And, you know, I'm really enamored by that. I'm inspired by it. So where it used to be at our time, a smaller group of people that were playing music around here and more cliquish, it's still cliquish. It's always going to be. But there's a lot more. There's so many bands I haven't seen. I just know about them. And there's like so many different musicians and people that I'm like connected to via, you know, Facebook or something. And I see what they're doing, and I think it's really cool. It's like, it's just a lot broader scope of art coming out of people and musicians here. And, you know, cultures crossing and interweaving. And they have a lot more balls, I think, than, you know, we did. We were the social norms of performance and like, just what, you know, I just think it's really cool. Like, the kids are all right kind of thing.
I'm not
going to be that get off my lawn person. I'm like, good for them.
Right.
I wish I was doing that. Man, you gotcha. Know. Okay. So, yeah.
All right. What was your favorite venue to perform at?
Oh, goodness. Well, I mean, it's been gone for so long, but the space that was Tooligan's was the cool space to me. Like, that was so cool. I performed a lot at Headliners at this point, and it's an interesting venue. It's a big hall. It's what it's supposed to be, you know. You can feel, if it's not packed, you can feel a little lost, you know, on that stage. Like, wow, there's not, you know, like it, you know, there's a lot of room between you and the audience. I like being real close up with people. Rudyard Kipling was a place we played that was always fun because there was no stage level. You were just basically on the same level as the audience. And if it was full, they're right in front of you. That's a really fun, you know.
I think I've been to, it's Nirvana now, isn't it?
That was what Tooligan's. Okay. Yeah, it's been like a lot of things.
Yeah. All righty. What venue have you dreamed of performing at?
I would love, as far as hometown goes, man, I would love to perform at the Palace. It's a beautiful space, you know, and
I went there recently for the Frankie Beverly and Maze concert, and I had never been to the Palace.
Isn't it gorgeous?
Yeah.
It's like you walk into a whole other world in there.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
I remember when they restored it, and, you know, like, all that beautiful, ornate work in it. And it's just such a really neat place. Right. Yeah, I'd love to perform there. That would be huge.
Yeah. All right. Can you estimate how many projects or performances you've done? Has it been a lot?
Not really. I you know, I've been thinking, sometimes in the back of my mind, I think about counting those eggs, you know, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. thinking about, like, wonder how many times I've actually done this, right. you know, or how many times have we played? it's, you know, it's definitely not in the thousands, but I mean, if you consider, like, my childhood, mm-hmm. you know, and I did theater, and okay. I did that as well, like, I've spent a lot of time on stage.
Right, gotcha. All right, so regarding music, what has been the most important thing you've accomplished?
Not giving up.
Right.
Not calling it.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I'm getting older. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, there's a lot of self-talk and doubt you can go through as you age into a youth game. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right.
And I've had to remind myself, I don't do this for anybody else. Mm-hmm. I don't do it for money
right.
or fame or popularity with mm-hmm. anyone. I do it because I love it.
Right.
Because I have to. Mm-hmm. Because I need to. And so I get caught, you know, you get caught up sometimes in worrying what other people think. Mm-hmm. And is this product that I'm presenting what I really want to represent me? Mm-hmm. You know, or are we just having a good time?
Right.
Oh, yeah, I'm just having a fucking good time.
Right.
You know, I just love doing this.
Right.
And there is no age limit. Mm-hmm. That's a beauty about it.
Right.
It's not like modeling or some, you know, other thing like mm-hmm. that. It's, you know, it's, I can do this till I can't walk or hold a guitar anymore.
Right.
And yeah, I think that, like, I have to do it. Like, that's what all this other stuff is about. Like, going to work, doing this, trying to get this done. It's also, it's all for that in the end, I can also still get to play music.
Right.
If I couldn't play music, I'd be pretty depressed. Right. So, what has it given me, or what have I come to understand, is just basically that, like, you know, I gotta keep doing it. Mm-hmm. So
with that being said, what would be a piece of advice that you would give to someone that is up and coming in the music scene now? Or aspires to be a performer, a musician?
I think that it really, you know, I still work on this. So, you know, it's my own advice to myself, but it's definitely the one thing that keeps coming back to my mind is not caring about, not being concerned with what other people's expectations are of you in your art, your music, your style, anything. Right. to make sure that you dig deep down inside and find out that that's why you really want to do it, you know, what it is you get from it, and make that be your, like, reason for doing it.
Gotcha.
You know.
Right. All right. Were there any barriers or limitations that you encountered while in the music scene?
Oh, sure. It's getting better. Mm-hmm. Like, boys are getting better fast. Mm-hmm. Like, we are changing, you know, the youth is changing this world quickly. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness. Mm-hmm. But, with things like Girls Rock Camp mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, it's been a male-dominated kind of thing. And you know, like, trying to get your sound right on stage with a guy who's doing the sound, and, you know, and he's like, yeah, you know, like I'll say, like, you know, this isn't coming back at me right, you know, I need more in my PA, or, you know, and they just kind of, like, act like you don't know what you're talking about, and, or, like, I just want to be careful how I say it. That's all. Yeah, there's been some, you know,
Not taking it seriously
as a female. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Right.
You get that. And, you know, one of the other things was that I remember as a child also, like in high school, grabbing my dad's tennis racket and throwing in my cassette tapes of like AC/DC and stuff that I was listening to and like playing air guitar with this tennis racket while listening to them. And it boggles my mind that my parents never thought we should buy her a guitar. Mm. Or we should get her guitar lessons.
Right.
You know, maybe it's because that's girls don't do that. Right. Or, you know, I know it's not like that for everybody. A lot of people had some other type of more, you know, paying attention, you know, attentive parents that probably did do that for them.
Right.
But, you know, in the 80s, 70s and 80s, you know, maybe it just never would have crossed their mind or made sense to them that that was what I needed at the time. Mm. How great would it have been if I got guitar lessons
right.
in high school,
right.
you know, and supported mm-hmm. as a female guitar player back then mm-hmm. to, you know, and got lessons and like, you know, just a really cool thinking like, oh, you know, that could have been a game changer,
right.
maybe along the line somewhere. Right. I don't know if it would have or not, but,
right.
but, you know, those are the kind of things I think of. Like back at my, you know, when I was a child, no one thought, you know, hey, go get her freaking guitar, man, you know, quit playing that tennis racket. She obviously loves this, you know. But the world is getting better. Mm-hmm. People like Carrie Neumeier and the folks that have been running the Girls Rock Louisville camp have really been promoting that, you know, a strength and a unity and support mm-hmm. for female and non-gender specific, you know, people to participate and own, have an ownership in music. I've went to the camp and I taught a little performance class and then I've gone to see their showcases and it's just, I mean, it brings you to tears to see these little kids,
right.
you know, and just doing it.
Right.
And
right.
so it's great. It's changing.
That was my next question was, were non-male bands taken as seriously as female bands?
I don't think so. No. Yeah. No, I mean, you know, if you look at even back in the 70s, the Runaways, all-female girl rock band, not taken seriously. I mean, just saw the Joan Jett documentary movie, and she talks about, like, how bullshit and how crazy it was that, like, they were not, like, they were ridiculed, they were called sluts, they weren't taken seriously, there wasn't, you know, it's been a hard road, I think, and yes, you still can come, it can come that way, you know, it can be that way, but it's getting less and less.
Gotcha.
So.
Gotcha. Well, that was my last question. Is there anything else you would like to add, any word of wisdom to, which I think you've already done that, to up and coming generations?
I don't know. I mean, if music is your medicine, if it heals you and that's your thing, like it does for me, then you got to make by any means necessary to be able to do it.
Right.
You got to do it. You can still have a family and raise a child mm-hmm. and, you know, and work. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard.
Right.
And circumstances can be really fucked up. I mean, I don't at all feel like I'm a... You know, that it's been easy. I've had bouts where, I mean, you know, I couldn't even pay attention to music, you know. I always had to come back to it and fight tooth and nail to like have that a part of my life. And that's pretty much keeps me sane.
Gotcha.
And, you know, I don't give a shit like what other people think of like what I wear on stage. It's my rock and roll fantasy. It is not theirs to decide how I get to play out my rock and roll fantasy.
Right.
It's mine.
Right.
So I'm going to wear what I want. I'm going to play the way I want. I'm going to sing what I want. I'm going to act how I want. And if you don't like it, don't come. If you do, clap louder.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So,
right.
But I'm going to still do it whether one person's there or whether 100 fucking people are there.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Much probably to the embarrassment of my 15-year-old son, but
well, that completes the interview.
Awesome! I hope
it.
That helps.
It does.
Yeah, really nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you.
Yeah.
As well.